The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gal Media station.
Dana, president, has said she has some lofty expectations. She mentioned it there when she spoke. She's been on the record as saying she wants 10-2, 8-4 get you fired. You won 10 games once at West Virginia. You're coming off an 8-4 season. What makes you the person that's going to meet her lofty expectations?
You want to answer that?
No, it's your question.
I don't want to go anywhere that doesn't have expectations like that. I don't. I don't want to be somewhere that doesn't have those expectations.
Great answer. Great answer, Dana.
You know, not only is her expectations like that with the football program, but it is just across the entire campus. It is with basketball. It is with this new medical school that's coming in, you know, with getting the academics to tier one status. I mean, she has lofty expectations for everything she touches on this university's campus. And so, you know, I'm ready to roll.
All right, so UH has a new football coach. We already knew that, but he had a lot to say. And there's a bunch to get to. Let's do this. It's a Thursday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Thursday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong, I almost got it, at my name Jong, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it is a Thursday. Does it feel like a Thursday to you?
Nope.
Because yesterday felt like a Monday.
It's not going
to
feel right until the weekend hits and we reset next week.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because this feels a little bit like a Tuesday.
Until then, we're just screwed.
Well, we'll make it work. It is a Thursday, though. Weekend's almost here, so let's have some fun. A lot to talk to. Playoffs coming up this weekend. A lot to talk about. Excuse me, not talk to.
Talk to them, too.
Yeah, we'll talk to as well as talk with.
Talk to the playoffs.
Yeah. So, hey, playoffs, do you think you could be entertaining for me? Yeah, we got playoffs, man. We'll have plenty of time to talk about the national championship on Monday. We got some college basketball heating up. We're in the conference play. I know that interests you.
Yeah.
So just a lot happening. And, of course, UH introducing its new coach in Dana Holgorsen. And, I've said all along I love this hire, and I think it's a great coup for them. And I think he'll do well there. So kind of fun to hear everybody excited about it, because everybody's always excited at a hiring of a coach.
Let me ask you this, and I'm with you. I think they've got their hands on the right guy, but is it concerning that this is the fourth head coach since Kevin Sumlin left?
Not really, because frankly, at a school like this, and I think if Holgorsen has a ton of success, somebody else big is going to come. He's going to get a better opportunity. Totally okay with that. At UH, you're supposed to, you know, get a guy for 2-3 years, win big, then hopefully you get the next guy who's going to win. You know, they got it right when they went Browse to Sumlin, and then they tried something different with Levine, and didn't really work. And then you got the guy in Herman. You tried the same thing. The top assistant didn't work. So I don't mind, and I know with recruiting and everything, it's as long as you get to the right guy for 3 years. That's the reality at a school like this.
Okay,
in my opinion,
it's funny. I was looking back through their history. The last time they had a coach for more than 70 games was Kim Helton.
Yeah, and he should have never been there. That
he
long.
Won 31% of his games. He was 24-53. He had a tie in there, too. I don't know.
That was before overtime.
They kept him for that long. And then since then, it's been kind of a rotating door. Dana Dimmel for 3 years.
Which was 2 years too many.
Briles, 5 years, which that's, I mean, 5 years, is
decent, a good run,
a decent amount of time. Sumlin, 4 years. Levine, 3 years. Herman, 2 years. Applewhite, 2 years. And now Holgorsen. It just seems like the programs that really win with consistency. And like I said, I think they got a good guy here, but I would be concerned about the constant switching. I mean, because how many of these guys have seen, how many freshmen to seniors have seen the same coach? You know?
Yeah, and I think it's a fair concern, but I think you look at Boise, they've switched coaches a lot and been successful. It's a matter of getting the right guy. They didn't get the right guy in the last hire, and I think you couldn't get rid of him after 1 year, because then you really are getting into the old Browns where you're right. Just firing coaches after 1 year. But you know, I also think when you recognize this isn't the guy, you got to make a move.
Boise, since when did Boise become like a program? Like when did they 90s? Really start to matter?
They've been through three, right? They've had three guys there.
Dan Hawkins, Chris Peterson, and now Brian Harsin, right? That's it. I mean, that's since the 90s. They've had three guys. That's
yeah.
You know, UH has had three guys in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it just doesn't bother me. I mean, honestly, if in the case of getting Tom Herman, I mean, you got to take each one individually. So you get a chance to get Tom Herman. And Levine has kind of shown that, okay, this is... I think Tony's a better coach than things turned out for him. His big mistake was not going to Greg Ward sooner.
Yeah.
If he'd done that, he might have still had a job for that 13-1 year. But, you know, I think when you look at it that way, you tried to do the right thing when you lost your guy. You know, someone was always going to get a bigger job. And you thought he could continue it. He couldn't. So he went out and got the hot shot.
Yeah.
And... he stayed for 2 years. Ideally, you would have liked the guy to stay 3 or 4 years like Sumlin did. But that was always he was always going to be gone if Texas opened up, and it did. So then you try to do the same thing. You try to hire the right coordinator from that program and have some consistency. Didn't work. So you make a move. And so, yeah, on the surface, you consider and say, well, you're not consistent there with things. But I think it just shows you want to win. Because I would not have made the Applewhite hire. And at the time, you know, it's one of those, you're kind of like, okay, well, the two hot coordinators were him and Lincoln Riley, and maybe you go with the guy who's already here. And I didn't like the idea of Lane Kiffin, which who knows how that would have worked out. So, you know, and then once, well, where the red flag for me was is when he hired his defensive coordinator. I'm like, what the hell are you doing here? that was just, you're hiring a guy who failed twice and then was out of football for a year. And you're expecting results out of that? And then his first offensive coordinator didn't work out. And then when you do hire an offensive coordinator that's good, he comes with all his baggage. It's the first time I've worn a UH hat, by the way, since the Kendall Briles hire. I'll go on record as saying. And even if he was successful, which he was, you're not going to keep him.
Right.
And then you've had to take the hit for it. So, and then he still kept D'Onofrio on for another year, which I have no idea what that was about. So it wasn't going to work. I mean, the only thing you could do is say, all right, you need to come in and hire another coordinator on both sides of the ball, and you better get it right this time. But when you throw in all that, you throw in the fact that, you know, the sideline thing with Ed Oliver, which was just dumb, you know, that's not a guy you want leading your program. And they had to make a move. And the reality is they weren't going to make a move unless they could do something like this. And they did. So
again, I'm not saying that it's a bad move. I don't think it is. I think you're getting away from a coach that was pretty limited as far as his ceiling was concerned. Big name, especially around here. I mean, in this state, he's got a good name to recruit with. But, I mean, Dana Holgerson's a big name, too.
And he didn't recruit all that
well. Not as well as he should have.
And frankly, that was one thing that was one thing that Levine did really well. I mean, Tom Herman won 13 games with Tony Levine's players.
Yeah.
And, you know, you weren't getting those kind of guys here under Applewhite. So I think that in the end, they had to make this move, but I tend to look at each hire individually. And so in UCF's case, Scott Frost goes there for a short time, builds that program up, and did they get it right with Josh Heupel? Looks like it.
Yeah.
But how long do you think Heupel's going to be there?
I don't know.
If they run another 10-win season, I mean, that's life in this conference. If you have a program, Memphis, that guy's not going to last there after Fuente was there. He's not going to be there very long if he keeps winning. I mean, all of these guys. Luke Fickle is a candidate for West Virginia. You know, that'll be 2 years at Cincinnati. I just think that's life in this kind of conference. And as long as...
Well, it is to an extent, but let's also keep in mind, I mean, the only one of the last three coaches that left on his own terms was Tom Herman. I mean, they burned through Tony Levine really quick, yeah. And they burned through Major Applewhite really quick. So I understand if these guys are moving on to bigger jobs, that happens in this conference. But I do think it's odd for this school to keep firing coaches after 2 or 3 years.
Well, it's only been two times that they fired coaches after 2 years.
I mean, but it's two out of the last three.
Yeah, but so they made bad hires.
Yeah.
And you know what? Rather than stick with a bad hire like they did with Kim Helton for all those years,
yeah,
they made a change. And I just think it shows you're trying to compete at the highest level you can.
Okay.
And, you know, I think recruits are going to see that. They're going to say, hey, you know what? 8 wins isn't enough. We need to – certainly 7 wins isn't enough. This is a team that should be competing year in, year out. And I think Holgerson will, you know, come here and get them to that point. And how long he stays, I mean, yeah, I know, and somebody sent me the buyouts. I know the buyouts are a bunch, but, you know, 3 years.
I mean, there is something to be said for.
If he stays here 3 years and has a ton of success, that's all you can expect.
There is something to be said for moving away from somebody that you know can't win for you long term, and I do respect that. And if they thought that about Tony Levine, they thought that about Major Applewhite, and they decided, you know what, let's just get out now and hit reset. And what I will say for them is when they moved on from Levine and when they moved on from Applewhite, I think they brought in an immediate upgrade. And it's easy to say on Herman in hindsight.
Yeah, but I think everybody thought that. Yeah, everybody thought that guy was going to be successful.
And I think when you talk about Holgerson, he's a proven commodity. I mean, this is a guy who's won 60% of the games he's coached in the Big 12, which...
Yeah, I think, though, to your point, the Applewhite thing, I think you needed to move on. I think there was no way that guy was going to get you where you needed to be. And frankly, I think you go to halftime of the Tulane game when he had the dust up with Ed Oliver that was just dumb and De'Aaron King got hurt. That was where that was the end for him because they were completely non-competitive without King.
Okay, so now I ask you, what's an acceptable record for – the UH Cougars.
Well, you know, you're going to laugh at this, but looking at next year's record, if they go 8-4, they've had a good season.
Okay.
When you look at who they've played, it's going to be a better 8-4 than the 8-5 this year or 7 and whatever. I think now 2 years down the road, you better be looking at 10 wins.
Okay.
But if you tell me, and I think they'll do better than 8-4, but you got Oklahoma, you got Washington State, you play at Central Florida. Which apparently they're putting Mackenzie Milton back together again, so he'll theoretically play. Although after that injury, I don't know if I would keep going out there. But you know, and then you've got some teams in the conference that depends on. You got Cincinnati. Well, if Fickle stays, that's going to be a pretty good. That's going to be a tough out. You should win that game.
Yeah,
but it doesn't mean you're going to. So, yeah, I think an 8-win season next year on the surface would look disappointing. But if you lose to Oklahoma and Washington State. And maybe twice to Central Florida. It's not a bad season, but I think reality is they're going to win some of those games, though.
Yeah.
I think they have a chance to upset Washington State. I think they have a chance to go in and beat UCF, depending on, you know, who he brings in on the defensive side of the ball, which is going to be the big hire. Because they've got some young talent there that had to play this year that just wasn't ready and didn't get developed at all because they had terrible coaching.
Right.
So you get the right guy on that side of the ball, I think they'll be fine. But, yeah, you know, I really think this is a hire that 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, you're winning 10 and 11 games. And that's where you should be, in my opinion.
Well, and remember, you know, like with Gardner Minshew, he's not going to be back at Washington State next year.
And they always start a little slow, too, usually, so you might be able to get them early.
And Mike Leach, what I will say is Mike Leach always tends to find a quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he does. But they'll be breaking in a new guy, and Oklahoma's likely to be breaking in a new guy. So, it's not out of the realm of possibility. But
no, I think and listen, Holgerson's gone to Norman before, so it's not like he doesn't know what he's walking into.
I just more meant like what are their immediate expectations for them to suddenly jump into national relevance again?
Well, I think realistically, hell, they were in the top 25 this year. I think that's where they believe they should be, and whether it's 15 or 24 or whatever.
Yeah,
and I think there is that expectation.
I know this will piss UH guy off, but I think if this program is anywhere in the top 25, that's a successful season.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I guess once every few years you want to get in the top 10.
Sure.
And I think that's doable, but yeah, if you finish in the top 25, that should be the expectation.
Yeah.
John's in there like,
what do you think,
I know
John?
You want to say something.
No, you covered it all.
Do you believe UH should be a top 25 team every year?
They should be, yeah. That should be the expectations. And you know, Ms. Couture and Holgerson are correct that you should have high expectations. And they've been there before in terms of being ranked really high and going to a New Year's Six. So in terms of should I expect that next year? No, but their expectations should be that.
Now, mind you, when I say expectations are that they should be a top 25 team every year, it's not like LSU, where if they go 2 years in a row and they're not a top 25 program, that everyone should sound the panic bells and fire everybody. It's not that kind of a school, but ideally that should be their goal.
Well, you know, let's go to the break so John doesn't have to keep looping the show. But there's a lot more to this that I want to get to. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
When you were hired, the press release labeled you as an offensive genius. You mentioned offensive coordinator, and 10 years ago meeting Tillman. How, when you hear that term, obviously you people know you for your offense, the high scoring, quarter working with Will Grier. What do you think when you hear that term associated with you?
Unfortunately, I have to listen to you right now, but I don't read anything. I try to put my head down and do my work. That's what I think. I don't listen to any of the talk shows. I know Mr. Granato thinks I listen to him all the time. I don't. So I just put my head down and go to work. I mean, if you say that somebody had that opinion of me, then I could flip it at 180 and say this same thing in a very negative connotation as well. So I don't listen. I just go to work. You know, I love offense. I love football. It's what I do. It's my passion. I don't want to do anything else. Have the opportunity to continue to do it here.
Oh, I think he listens.
Not to us.
Oh, why not? He should.
Maybe.
He might learn something. But to follow up on what we're talking about there, when you talk about top 25 being the expectation, you have an easier path to the top 25 if you have a good group of five program. There were three of them that made it this year.
Yep.
To me, you should be in that conversation. You know, UCF, Boise, Fresno, all three made it. Now, Fresno and Boise were down near the bottom, but you should be in that conversation pretty much every year. Every other year, you should be playing for a conference championship. And once every 4 or 5 years, you should have a run the table, be in the conversation type year. To me, that those are your expectations. I don't think they're unrealistic considering the money they spent on facilities there, the ability you have to recruit here, the fact that you're spending $4 million a year on a coach, which the other schools in this conference can't do, and the other group of five schools aren't doing. So, yes, I think those are realistic expectations for that. So, we'll see. But that's, yeah, I think it's easier to get, you know, when you talk about top 25. And I'll also say this, and it's always amazed me, U of H has a much better reputation nationally than it does in the state of Texas. And always has. And it's funny because I'll go places, and that's what people are asking me about, not Texas or A&M. And I'm like, well, you know, what about A&M hiring Jimbo Fisher? Now, what do you think Kelvin Sampson is going to do at UH? When I go to other cities around the country and talk to people from other cities in the media, the reputation is, so if they go 12-0, they're going to have a better, they'll probably be higher ranked than UCF. I think if they were to do that next year, they obviously would be because they'd have high profile wins.
Yeah.
But they have a better reputation around the country than they do here. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I just think, especially from a media perspective, A&M and Texas are always going to overshadow them, even when those schools aren't good. But yeah, that's always surprised me that I think you'll start seeing that with basketball now too. They're, you know, they should be ranked a little higher than where they are, but you know, nobody was really surprised that they were able to win a game last year and scare the hell out of Michigan. And I think part of that is you have a guy like Kelvin Sampson who's won nationally. And I think you add a guy like Dana Holgorsen who's won nationally.
Yeah.
That's going to help. So, I mean, there's a certain element in this state that's never going to think anything of UH. And that's...
Well, and when you look at what they're paying their coaches, you look at what Holgorsen's going to be making compared to what Brian Harsin's making.
Right.
Compared to what Josh Heupel's making. UH is spending almost double.
Yeah.
What the next group of five conference coaches are, I guess, athletic departments are spending on a football head coach.
And that's the thing. You've got a guy like Tillman Fertitta who's willing to spend that money, just like T. Boone Pickens is willing to spend that money at Oklahoma State to try to, you know, try to get them where he wants them. And that's an advantage. And Boise doesn't have that. Boise doesn't have the facilities here. They don't have the recruiting base. And you should be better than Boise. You should be better than UCF's got pretty nice facilities, but you still should be better than them.
Yeah.
You're spending more money than them on just about everything. If you're not winning, then it's kind of like Texas the last few years. You have the money to spend. If you're not winning,
and
you're not doing something right.
Well, let's also face this with the exception of UCF, which I would say is maybe comparable. Most of these schools that you're competing with, you've got an advantage as far as location goes when it comes to recruiting. I mean, being in Florida is obviously nice.
How many
kids are you going to get to go to Boise? How many kids are you going to get to go to Fresno, California? I hate to break it. Fresno's not like the rest of California.
No.
So I think that there are, and not that, you know, Houston is some sort of paradise to a 17-year-old high school kid, but it's better than going to play up in the middle of nowhere, someplace you've never heard of before.
Well, and the thing is, there's a lot of kids here, and if you kind of go and look at the type of players that Levine went out and got, which were three-star players that the bigger programs weren't interested in, because let's be honest, Texas gets 25, A&M gets 25. You go for guys that you think you can develop and become players. And there's a ton of those. Yeah, the 100 to 125 in this state is a lot better than what you're going to find trying to recruit at Boise.
Yeah, and I think that UH has done a good job of realizing that it's silly for them to try to compete for the same kids that Texas A&M and LSU were competing for. It makes a lot more sense to go after the kids that are looking at Baylor or Texas Tech, or those types of
TCU.
Schools, rather than try to go after those 4- and 5-star kids nonstop, because you're probably not going to get those.
You're going to get one or two every now and then, and I mean they usually when they get a 4-star, somebody who transfers from somewhere else, which they've had a few of those.
Yeah,
but yeah, the reality is you go get the best 3-stars because a lot of those guys are going to develop into better players than the 5-star kids who don't develop. I mean that's just. That happens. I think a great example when we go back to the Texans draft, Jadeveon Clowney, 5-star recruit, best in the country. You know who's a two-star recruit that went in that draft too? Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
That went to Buffalo as a two-star recruit. So guys can develop and get better, and those players are there to be found. And there you go. 713-780-ESPN is your number. And, yeah, first dumb text of the day.
Oh, boy.
Delete that. I love it when people just totally make assumptions about something. And, sir, you're just a dumb.
Not going to share.
Yeah, I'm not even going to do it. I'm not even going to give you credit because, I'm ignoring most of the bad texts, but I'll just say this, and one thing for this year that I hope we can get rid of: blanket statement guy and guy who pulls out one little thing and tries to make a point with it guy. If we could eliminate you from the show, really from the planet, if I could just Thanos your asses off the planet, I would. But if we could just stop with that,
yeah,
and try to have really good, decent conversations about things without pulling out one thing somebody says and then trying to use that as an example of something, because that's just dumb.
Lamont says people are overlooking the fact that a name like Dana will bring in new recruits. Dude may get two to five five stars this year. I don't know that that's true, because he wasn't getting 5 stars at West Virginia.
No.
He was getting 4 stars. So,
But you get a couple 4 stars here.
Yeah,
and to me, the difference between 4 and 3 stars, and the whole recruiting, this is one reason we don't talk a lot of recruiting. Most of the recruiting stuff is a scam. Basically, the services go, they go to the big schools, find out who they're going after, and those guys are automatically 4 and 5 stars. Anybody Alabama's going to go after is usually a 5-star. Well, they don't all turn out to be superstars, more than not at Alabama, because look how many guys they put in the NFL draft. But, there is a click to that as well. And it used to really be bad with Rivals, because guys would be getting recruited by, say, TCU, and they'd be a 3-star, and then suddenly they're on Texas's radar and they become a 4-star. So, I know some people really get into that and it's a big deal, but it's criminal in a lot of ways. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And guys, you want to get out and play some poker, one place to go. Go see my guys over at Lions Poker Palace. And, they just have tournaments all the time. That's the best thing. I mean, they have tournaments all the time. I'm a tournament guy. And George and Najib and the gang, they run a great room. So tonight, you want to go over there? Well, they go on the weekends. I mean, you can go tonight, 6:30 tournament. But, that's a round of each tonight. But how about the weekend, man? $25,000 guaranteed on Saturday. $25,000 pot limit Omaha Saturday night. So much guaranteed money on weekends. And if you like cash, and I like to play some cash, you mentioned ESPN, 3 hours of free play.
Can't beat that, man. And like you said, I'm a tournament player, too. I prefer tournaments. Lions has tournaments going nonstop, which is what I love about them. They've got great food, televisions all over the place. So if you're going this weekend and you're worried about, missing the games or whatever, they've got you covered on games. They're going to have games on every TV. So go in, check them out. You'll see it's a Vegas style room, and we could tell you about it all day long. Check them out on Facebook for all the tournaments and stuff, but you need to go inside and see for yourself. Lions Poker Palace, 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. That's Lions Poker Palace.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Are you asking any New Year's resolutions? I don't really do resolutions.
I'm going to try to make more money and be less fat, just like every year.
Yeah, that's pretty much the... Well, one thing I was going to do differently was I erased my list of do not read texts. and I was going to give everybody a fresh start.
Mm-hmm. And you made a mistake?
Yeah, because I just went and looked at my deleted files, and one of the ones was one of those guys, so we're back to that. But trying to give everybody a fresh start. So 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, yeah, so, yeah, and there's another one. So, okay, we're already back to that. It lasted one day. I gave you guys one day. And what are you going to do?
You know what they're going to do. They're going to do what they always do.
Well, they're going to keep texting, but I'm not going to read them anymore.
Let's talk to DJ.
Okay.
Hey, DJ Sports.
Hey, sports to you guys.
Sports, again.
Hey, question. How much do you think the program really, you know, is it more of the recruit or the five-star, three-star, or is it more of the coaching that is the concern or is looked at more?
Well, they have to work in concert. Yeah, and I mean,
a great coach, Nick Saban wouldn't win national championships every year with Vanderbilt's players. He just wouldn't.
No, but part of the thing, though, part of recruiting, it isn't just the stars. It's getting guys that you can coach up that can play for you. And that's the thing, recognizing the talent. It's like being a GM. If you go to recruit a kid and you're watching his film and you're talking to him and, yeah, he's a big five-star badass, but you think, you know what, I don't know that I can make this guy better. You might opt for another player. That's what – I mean, so much of recruiting is scouting. And, you know, Nick Saban, he gets the most five-stars every year, but you know what, most of them pan out. But they also have guys who are three-star recruits who turn out to play like five-stars. That's coaching. And it's not just what the numbers are, and it really isn't. It's really about getting players who will fit what you do. And like Les Miles, for instance, think about all the great guys in the secondary that guy had every year. And they weren't all five stars. There were some, but they got the right guys that fit their system, and then they coached them up and made them better players. And once you've played a couple of years, it doesn't really matter whether you were three or five. By then, you're a player or you're not. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. But, yeah, I mean, it's a combination of things. Did you see this tweet that looks like Major's going to be the Manny Diaz's OC?
I saw. Thoughts? I think you can do worse.
You can do worse, but
he's not an exciting offensive guy to me.
Frankly, I mean, he's been a lot of places and been OC, but you know, his success came when Tom Herman was here, and Tom was really involved with the offense. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm always for go hire a head coach who failed but did the coordinator position before. So, I don't know about Manny Diaz in that job either, to be honest with you.
No.
So, I just think Miami, you know, there's another one. How many coaches have they gone through the last 10 years? And they have not been as successful as you would like. So, yeah, I'm kind of, I don't want to say, I'm just not blown away by it, but I don't think it's a horrible hire.
Okay.
I just don't know that you've got the right head coach either. Miami used to be able to get whoever they wanted, too.
Yeah.
That's changed a lot. What do you think of? I'm gonna talk a little NFL, man. I'm ready to start throwing some money down. I think
all right
on these four games, but there's some other stuff to get to. I didn't really want to stay on that for that long, but some names that have been kind of rumored. Dolphins are going to try to land Jim Harbaugh.
I mean, I think they should explore every option. And if Jim Harbaugh is interested in leaving Michigan for Miami, congratulations to them. That would be a coup. But I've said all along, I just don't think he's looking to leave, and I definitely don't think he's looking to leave for a place like Miami.
Yeah, I don't know that Miami's ready made to. Well, of course, San Francisco wasn't when he got there.
True,
but you know, if I'm them, I'm gonna try to go get him. He's a short term guy. I think he rubs people the wrong way enough that if you get 5 years out of him, that's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
So I think it's good for them to go after him. Tampa Bay interested in Brian Kelly?
I don't think that's a good fit, period. I don't think that's a good job to go to, and I don't think Brian Kelly's that good of a coach. So,
yeah, I think he's a pretty good coach. I just think that jump to the NFL, you know, let's be honest. We're talking about recruiting. For him to win as many games as he does at Notre Dame, that's not exactly the easiest place to get kids to go anymore. No. So I think he's done a good job. He's just not – they're not Clemson or Alabama. That's – and guess who else we can say that about?
Everybody.
Yeah. And then finally, here's another one for you. Your Falcons have talked to Dirk Cutter about the OC job.
I don't think that's a bad idea.
No, I think that's a good move. If I'm them, I go after him. I go after Adam Gase. I try to go.
I think Adam Gase realizes he's going to get a head coaching job. I don't think he's worried.
He
and
probably
I'm not sure
will.
Why, but everyone's in love with Adam Gase.
I think he's one of those great coordinator types who maybe head coaches in his thing. But then again, you know, what's it going to take to win in Miami? And maybe, you know, and I'm thinking for them to get rid of him, they probably believe they can get Harbaugh.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when they made their move, they obviously knew they were going to get Holgorsen. Is that Chris? I think it's Chris.
Chris.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, you know, I got a question. Let's say it's already next year, and John Gruden calls and says, hey, man, look, trade me Clowney for the Bears pick. Do you think the Texans do it?
I mean, they can't. The only way they could trade Clowney is if they franchise him and –
which they could. I think I expect them to, frankly. But
that wouldn't make sense for the Raiders. I mean,
well, the Raiders didn't want to spend money on Khalil Mack. Why do you think they'd spend it on?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
They just let a better player go.
Yeah, who's going to make probably about the same money?
Yeah,
mind you.
Sure.
If that were feasible, sure. But I can't picture a scenario where the Raiders do that.
And somebody asked,
but honestly, I think the Texans, they should do everything they can to keep Clowney, in my opinion.
Yeah, I you know what? I'd actually like them to get knocked out of the playoffs before I start speculating on what they're going to do in the offseason.
Yeah.
But they have room to sign him if they want. Now, I think signing him to a deal that's on par with Khalil Mack is stupid. But that's going to be the going rate. But they've got the money to do that. They've got plenty of cap room. They got room to sign him. They've got room to go out and get another corner. And theoretically, an offensive lineman. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. And then somebody asked, wasn't the report about John, not Jim? No, they've been on both of them now. So
They should go after Jeff Harbaugh, our guy Jeff, the third brother.
Yeah, he's the best one.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, guys. Let me tell you what's going on with the Rockets. It's a new year. Rockets playing some good ball right now. Don't miss the first Rockets home game of 2019 when the Rockets host the Denver Nuggets in a Western Conference showdown. Mix and match Monday ticket promotion presented by Rocket. Purchase one all-inclusive ticket for as low as $20. You'll receive a free bottle of water, beer, or soda, a free popcorn or hot dog, and one free red or black Rockets jersey t-shirt. Go to Rockets.com to get your tickets today. And then NBA All-Star Weekend 2019 right around the corner. The Rockets need your help, guys. Go to Rockets.com to cast daily ballots for your Rockets All-Stars. Houston Rockets All-Star voting presented by Amp Pool is now underway. Vote on your mobile phone with the NBA app or on NBA.com, or just Google search your favorite Rockets player to vote. It's that easy. It takes less than a minute to help Harden and the Rockets represent at the NBA All-Star game. For all the info, visit Rockets.com/All-Star. That's Rockets.com/All-Star.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
All the bang,
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Texter says, I played football at Boise for a year. You're underestimating the qualities of the facility of the city. It ain't your granddaddy's Boise anymore. It's the same
it's
Boise.
It's still in Idaho.
Yeah.
I mean, let's...
But I would live in Houston, in Boise over Houston anytime if my wife would let me.
Okay.
And you're in the minority. I mean, that's okay that you would.
There's, you also have a connection to it because you were there.
Yeah. And some guy wrote that Lubbock was the best city in the Big 12, too, and not Austin. I mean, there are people who prefer stuff like that. Hell, if it were up to me, I'd probably live in Saskatchewan over Houston, but... That's, you know, when it comes to facilities, I don't think you've seen what UH has got over there anymore either. So, what do we got? Is it Peter? Let's try Peter. What's up, Peter?
Sports, gentlemen.
Sports to you, sir.
I was asking about, so I'm a Bull, I'm an Eagles fan, and I'm seeing Nick Foles win all these games right now, got into the playoffs. What's going to be trade bait? Is it going to be Carson Wentz, or is it going to be Nick Foles?
I mean, again, Nick Foles isn't under contract long term.
No.
So I think that the Eagles have a guy under contract, and they're going to have a guy who's not under contract, and they're going to let the guy walk away. They're going to let Nick Foles walk away. And it sucks, but I mean...
Yeah, and it really isn't. Unfortunately, it's not realistic to sit here, and we've talked about it, but at length yesterday, as a matter of fact, it's not realistic to try to say, oh, well, let's sign Foles and keep Wentz. You can't put that much money into the position. You really can't. And, you know, they've gotten a good run out of him, but I bet if they lose to the Bears this weekend, we don't have that conversation anymore.
Yeah.
Let's try Boosh.
Hey, sports boys, happy new year.
Sports to you.
Hey, I just called up. Thank you guys for a great 2018. It was enjoyable most of the time. And I just, you know, you guys always do a great job. I got a question for you real quick. I want to know what the one game is that you're looking forward to this weekend the most. And then I'll tell you the one thing I'm looking forward to the most in 2019. And that is the return of Cocktoberfest. What's got two thumbs and loves Cocktoberfest? This guy.
Well, good. We all love it here. Fred loves it.
Hope we make it to
October.
A long way off.
I think we'll make it.
Oh, boy. Which game am I looking most forward to?
It's Colts Texans for me.
Well,
I mean, that's the one we got to work.
Kind of, yeah, but I'm going to just throw that one out and say.
I'm actually going to attend the game, Fred.
Really?
Yeah. Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
I can't either.
Wow.
But I'm not attending on a press pass.
Really?
Because, as you know, they made it too much of a pain in the ass for me, so I've boycotted going.
Actually, it's very easy. I've been doing it for Cody all year, so.
It was way easier when I just had to fill it out, or actually, Jong had to fill out a request for me once, and then they gave me a pass, and they gave me a parking pass.
Basically, Cody does all the work, and then I just approve it, and then they send it back and say, hey, he can go. It's pretty simple. I mean, they added a level that makes it a pain in the ass, but it's 8 games, 9 now. But good for you. I am not going. But I think other than that, I'm most intrigued by Chargers-Ravens.
I'm pretty pumped for that one, too. Yeah, the NFC games don't do as much for me. But especially the Eagles-Bears game, for whatever reason, that one's just having a hard time grasping my attention. Maybe because there's no... star players in that, at least offensive star players in that game, so it's less attractive just for the naked eye. But yeah, I guess that's probably my number two as well, as Ravens Chargers.
Blake asks, who's the toughest matchup for the Saints in the divisional round, Eagles, Cowboys, or Seahawks? It's tempting to say Cowboys because the Cowboys did beat them, but that was a Thursday night game in Dallas. I don't think they can do that again. I'll throw a long shot out here. If it happens to be the Eagles, the fact that they went in and won at Chicago, that would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Saints have much to worry about in the second round.
I don't think so either. I would honestly, I'll throw Seahawks out there because they're the one team that's got a a quarterback that I trust.
Coach and quarterback.
Yep. But I think this might be getting ahead of ourselves, but I think the two teams that got byes in the NFC, that's the teams playing for the NFC championship.
Yeah, I don't.
The Rams getting a week to get healthy is huge for them.
Well, and that's why I guess I'm more interested in the AFC in general, because I don't know that that's the case. I mean, obviously the Patriots are still going to be the favorites, but if you're ever going to get them, I think this is the year, and I think there's some matchup problems for them should that happen. And the Chiefs still have to prove it to me in the playoffs. I mean, I look at them and say they look like the best team, but they looked like the best team last year when Tennessee went in there.
Yeah.
And I think that, and I think they're going to wind up with a tough matchup too. So we'll see. The AFC excites the hell out of me, because I would not be shocked if either of the top seeds lose in the next round, depending on how it plays out this week, obviously. Because I think you have four pretty good teams playing this weekend. And, you know, the NFC, I don't see these teams on the level with the Saints and the Rams. And I think it goes back to, you know, if you'd had to go through Chicago instead of Los Angeles for that second seed, might have a different opinion.
Yeah.
But the way it sets up in the NFC, I think it's Saints and Rams, which should be fun. Today I put money on the Texans, Colts, Bears, and Philly to win the Super Bowl. Out of those, who's your favorite to win? I'll go back to what I just said about the AFC. I think I'd like your Texans and Colts bets better than your Bears and Philly bets.
Agreed.
But, yeah, and it's a tough.
Colts were 25-1.
Yeah.
For a team with that quarterback, 25-1 is, that's pretty generous.
Because, again, if they come in here and win Saturday, I'm not going to be shocked at all if they go to Foxborough and win.
By the way, the three teams with the longest odds, if I'm not mistaken.
Like, they would go to, they would go to Kansas City.
They would go to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Which, can Kansas City stop them? I don't know.
Yeah, I could see him winning that.
But the three teams that had the longest odds, and this surprised me, because first glance, I would have said the Eagles should have the longest odds. They don't. It's Colts, Texans, and Seahawks are all 25-1.
See,
I think you're looking at three of the best quarterbacks, you know, in the playoffs. So if you're looking for value, look for teams that have big numbers by them and have a proven quarterback. And, I mean, obviously, Deshaun's not as proven as the other two guys, but he looks pretty damn good right now. I trust him a lot more than I do Dak Prescott or even Nick Foles or Lamar Jackson.
I agree with that. I also think maybe part of the reason that the Texans and Colts are both 25 is because they play each other and one of them's going to be gone. So, if you're going to play long shots, I would say that's the way to go. And I would take the Seahawks. I still think the NFC, it's going to be tougher to win. I have a hard time seeing any team playing this weekend winning at New Orleans and then at L.A.
Yeah. Well, let's face it. I mean, whoever wins this week, there's tough road games ahead, because going to Kansas City is not easy either.
I'm not saying they're going to go in there and win, but I'm going to tell you this. I think they'd have a chance to go in there and win. And I don't feel like, as I watch the NFC, I just don't see many teams. Like, maybe the Seahawks could go in and beat the Saints, but that's a pretty big maybe. I think the Colts could scare the hell out of the Chiefs. I think that'd be a hell of a game. No, they might not. They may go and lay an egg like they've done in the past. But I do believe that, you know, if the Texans can beat the Colts at home, you know, if they're ever going to get New England, it better be now. I mean, if you can win, you can beat that team, one of the hottest teams, and one that's played you really well all year long, sooner or later you're going to go in there and beat those guys. And if it's going to happen, you know, I now that you've got everybody relatively healthy, I think it'll be now. But I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm saying I look at those two teams as being vulnerable home field teams. Don't see a lot of vulnerability in the Saints and Rams.
No.
Now, having said that, you watch both of those.
It could happen.
All right, guys. I have to tell you about something else that can happen. You can get great insurance on your iPhone for your car. That easy. Car insurance on your iPhone. Listen, I use my iPhone for everything. My face is in it 24/7. Well, how about this? I don't know if you've seen Go Insurance's crazy cat billboards or the elephant being shot out of the cannon. They're trying to get your attention. And guess what? They're the very first on-demand car insurance app exclusively on iPhone. incredibly fast. Just download the app, scan your license. You can get a quote in 60 seconds. And everything's managed through the app. It's a car insurance that gets it. They speak your language. None of that jargon that, frankly, no one understands. Go make your insurance faster, easier, possibly even cheaper than what you pay now. They've been the number one auto insurance app in the App Store for over 1,500 days. And it's great. They cut out a lot of the fees that you see other places and give you money back. So go see what we're talking about. Go to the App Store now and download Go Car Insurance. G-O, that's simple. Open the app, get a quote, and see if you can start saving today. Run back to me, because I'm the best baby that they never got to keep. One, two, three, they're going to run back to me. They always want to come, but they never want to leave. Set your clock and grab your jock.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.